On today's Church TechCast Q&A show, mini monitors, the little pictures on the front of videos in YouTube, and should we still be live streaming? Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of the Church TechCast Q&A show. This is the show where every week I answer your church tech questions, including some great ones that I've got today that I'm really excited to share about. If you have any questions and you're watching live, then click the little chat button underneath. I've got the chat window open, and as soon as you pop in there, I'll see that you're there and you can ask your questions. If you're not, if you're watching the video on YouTube, that's what the comment bar is for below. So just put it in there. If you're on TrinityDigitalMedia.com, we've got comments there. Put it in there. That's fine too. Let's say you're listening to the audio. You're listening to the audio. You're in your car. You just want to drop me a line on email, paul@TrinityDigitalMedia.com. You've got your phone, you want to call me, 1-877-POD-ECHO, 1-877-763-3246. Or, if you're on Twitter, Paul Allencliff, PaulAllencliff, is my Twitter handle. And you can reach me any of those places. So, I've got some great questions and a comment. So, let's dive right into those. First question from Ruth Aaron. Hey, Paul. By the way, this came into my email, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. The main thing is that it does not recognize it is an extended screen. This is a continued conversation about using two Blackmagic mini monitors to go SDI out of an iMac, and they both weren't working. I don't even put my output from ProPresenter on. It remains on off mode, but still projects. The mini monitor plugged into the Thunderbolt in the second port does nothing. It does not recognize as extended any solutions. So, this is what I sent to him. I sent him the answer to this, and this, I've answered this question before, but we didn't have all the information. Now we do, so this is a continuation from that earlier show. So, the first thing you need to determine is if everything is working correctly. So, the first thing I would do is I would swap ports. Does the problem follow the port, or does the problem follow the wiring, mini monitor, the projector, or display, whatever? In this case, the problem seemed to follow the ports. So, the next thing is unplug port 1 and only use port 2. Does it work then? In this case, yes, it did work. So the hardware and the wiring seem to work perfectly fine. Everything works fine. One port at a time will work fine, but both don't work at the same time. If it's the case that you don't have three monitors showing up in your system, your main monitor, a secondary monitor, and a third monitor, then ProPresenter won't recognize the third monitor. You have to see it in the system before you can play with it in ProPresenter. So in this case, he wasn't seeing it in the system. We tested all the wiring. That seems to be good. We tested all the Thunderbolt ports. They seem to work fine. So it's not the hardware of the computer, it's not the wiring, it's not the projectors, the displays, etc., it's not the mini monitors. It is something about OS X using two mini monitors. Now, that could be something software on the Blackmagic Design mini monitor side of things, or that could be something in OS X. I suppose it could also be something in the hardware that there's only one bus, and so only one can work at a time. So what I advised him to do, since this isn't a proper center problem, it strikes me as either a Macintosh problem or a mini monitor problem. Starting with the mini monitors, I advised him to go talk to Blackmagic Design. It could be that one of them needs to be replaced with like a USB adapter or come out Thunderbolt to DVI and switch the DVI to SDI or HDMI, whatever he's using, but that's what's going on. So that's just a lesson for all of us on troubleshooting, because he started off thinking it was a ProPresenter question, but it really had nothing to do with ProPresenter. The reason he wanted it to work was ProPresenter, but ProPresenter can't see what your Mac can't see, and the Mac couldn't see it. We eliminated all the hardware issues other than it being a Thunderbolt bus problem where only one would work at a time, but I don't think that's it. I think that the problem is, in fact, the not the Thunderbolt. I think the problem is either something in OS X or something in the mini monitor hardware that just assumed, why would you ever need two of these? So there, that's the problem. I bet that they've run into it. So ask the manufacturer of those devices. Next, Ron Price on YouTube sent me a comment on this week's Eternity Changers video, and he said, "What a great video, a great message. I definitely needed to hear it. Thanks, and know that your shows touch many lives each day. We are listening and watching." Thanks a lot, Ron. Anytime, let's say you don't have a question and you just want to send me some encouragement, some days it's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. When my rent is late, it's hard. When I really want to buy a piece of gear to test it out for you guys and can't do it, then it's hard. So any encouragement is absolutely welcome. I'm still thinking about shutting down that show because it doesn't have a lot of uptake. So if you like the Eternity Changers show, feel free to talk me out of it because I like doing the show. I just want to spend my efforts where they get the most return for the audience. I want more people to go out and change eternity. So I might be putting that into a different show or a segment for someone else's show. We'll see. Next, Donna, who is on my mastermind group, asked about the graphic that comes before videos on YouTube, what it's called, and whether I made my own or not. So the answer is, for my normal shows, I do in fact make my own. Well, that's kind of a misnomer. I don't generate them from scratch generally. Now this show, I did. Well, there's a picture of me that I didn't draw, but it's a photograph. But other than that, the rest of that was done in Photoshop. For the other shows, I go to photopen.com and I search for an interesting photo, make sure that it's Creative Commons, commercial, and then once I do that, then I use that. And that's what I do for the other shows during the week. For that particular show, though, there was a screencast element. So I took a screen capture of my screencast and uploaded that. So YouTube, they arbitrarily decide, I can't figure out any rhyme or reason to it, three random frames and want you to pick one. Or you can upload your own. Uploading your own is almost always going to give you a better result than going with what YouTube has chosen. I think they just pick one from near the beginning, one from near the end, and one from near the middle. That's my best guess. So if you have something that's representative of the video, or you're doing a search and you find a picture that kind of illustrates the idea in a fun, funny, or unusual way, go with those. That's what I do. So, it's not hard to do in YouTube once you have it, but it's called a thumbnail, by the way, and that's how you do that. Okay. Adrian Smith over on the Church Tech Leaders site had a thread called To Stream or Not to Stream, and I really want to talk about this because this could be very, very valuable. He asks, "Hi everyone, I would like some insight on whether other churches are, on what other churches are doing as far as live streaming your services. For example, do you find it better to live stream more than one of your Sunday main services, or do any of you only live stream one Sunday main service?" Now, the reason for this question is they've had an attendance drop that they're blaming on the live stream, saying that people are being lazy and they're not coming into church. So there are a couple of things at play here. First thing is, this is, the suggestion has been made that they should only stream one service for people that can't get to church to encourage everyone else to actually show up. It's a band-aid. You need some major surgery and you're offering a solution of a band-aid. I know a guy that needs open heart surgery and he's decided that he's going to make God heal him. Big mistake. Big mistake. I don't want to get into it too much, but if God tells you he's going to heal you, that's different. Confirm it with other people. But he just decided that God was going to heal him, having not asked the Almighty. So that's the kind of level of mistake that we're talking about here, where they've just decided that the problem is the live stream, so they're going to shut down the live stream. No, the problem is the culture in the church. Question number one, why is it so annoying to you if people are seeing your church, interacting with you online, etc., and not doing it in person? Is it a money thing? Make sure you have a donate button, have the ability for people to contribute, etc. Is it that it's the ego of those people in charge that they're like, well, our numbers are down, so everything must be horrible? You see, the answer to this question of why it bugs you might be the answer to what you should do. Because I think in my church, we stream everything. And I don't purposely cut church because of the live stream. I occasionally think about it if there's something else going on or etc. But I normally go to three services every weekend, okay? I only feel like I need to go to one, but I want to be there and interacting and be in community and etc. So I normally am serving three services a weekend. If I'm not serving, I usually go to at least two. On occasion, I'll go to one, but I go to at least two, typically. And then, so for me, I think it's all a matter of the heart. That you've got people who are not fully engaged and are looking for excuses to step out of community. You need to have the pastor talk about community, talk about being real, talk about being together in community, not neglecting the meeting together, as is the habit of some, to quote the Bible. Blaming the live stream is a mistake. It's like having low numbers and blaming your CD ministry. There's something else going on here, and you're blaming the thing that is perhaps highlighting a systematic issue, but you do have a problem with the systems in your church. I'm sorry, you do. There's something cultural that is keeping you back and keeping people staying at home. Maybe the live service isn't about community at all. Maybe it's just a theater presentation. That's hard, but it's possible. Maybe it's the case that the people that are missing really don't like community. Well, that's something else. To me, it's like having season tickets to your favorite sporting event and watching it on TV. That's a big mistake. You're missing out. You know, it's one thing if you're sick and you can't go out, or you're busy and the time's not right, things like that. But if, let's just think of a generic example, like the Green Bay Packers. There's a waiting list for the season tickets to the Green Bay Packers. As soon as someone dies, people are like calling the ticket office to see if their tickets are available. I mean, it's crazy. That's the way the church should be. So the thought that that shutting down the live stream will somehow help is the same as blacking out local television so that people will show up at the stadium. Sure, it might help some, but there are a lot of people that are going to be mad at the team that they were fans of because they can no longer participate and they didn't have the money, didn't have the ability to come and watch it in person. So you're actually going to end up hurting a lot of people, and the people that you're affecting, sure, a few of them will come back, but you're probably going to find that a lot of them leave altogether. So that's really a huge mistake. I can't even imagine how huge a mistake that is. So, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but that's just the way it is. If you have questions or comments, don't hesitate to leave them below the video or by emailing me, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAllenCliff, on Twitter, or 1-877-POD-ECHO. You can also go to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. That's where all that information is as well, and that's perfectly okay to do. What I would love for you to do, though, is also share this show. If you find it helpful and you know someone else who would be interested, share it by all means. I love it when people share. So I'm the father of a second grader. Sharing is caring. So let's share the show to help other churches, other technical people in your church learn more about using this fabulous tool of technology to change lives and eternities. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Don't forget to subscribe either on YouTube or TrinityDigitalMedia.com/subscribe. And until then, go out and change eternity.